Greetings, you're listening to St. Paul's Unseen Dimension. My name is Tom, and today is it's March 31st, and here is 2022. I just got done doing like a 20-minute monologue, and I apparently didn't press the record button. So this is more or less pretty much the whole day. The whole day has kind of gone like this. It's not been bad, it's just been kind of dumb. And so I woke up this morning. I actually was feeling pretty good, and I tested out a new oxygen meter that I got from Walgreens. I got one of these oxygen meters to check to see if I'm actually getting, you know, proper oxygenation from my lungs, checking lung function, making sure that I don't have something else wrong with me other than just seasonal asthma. And so anyway, I go ahead and I try this thing out, and I'm like at 92, and I'm like, well, that's a little low. And then I came upstairs and had to yell at the dogs, and I was back up to 97 in a matter of seconds. So I'm like, okay, well, I see where this is going. And but it's a nice little – I'll tell you what. It was probably one of the best investments I've made in a long time because I have been using it to more or less test to see which of the supplements I'm taking actually works and does what it says. Like, I take a lung cleanse, and I take Breathe MD, and I actually started taking this nitric oxide, more or less to help with circulation, oxygenation, and clear my lungs, because I've got some kind of thing in my house that is exacerbating my asthma. And so I go ahead, and I've been more or less just trying to see if this stuff actually works. And it does. It works great. So I'm happy with the fact that it has saved me, despite the fact that it cost me about $70 a month for these two supplements and the nitric oxide, which it takes me like a couple of months to get through it. It's better than spending $1,300 a month on an inhaler. Now, I know that they have the albuterol ones for like $50-$60, maybe $70. I think it was like $79 the last time I bought one. But the expensive ones that like have the steroid and stuff like that in it, those are like $1,300 without insurance. And so I'm just like, no, well, I'll see what I can do and do it naturally. And that way I'm not going to be a pharmaceutical company's repeat customer. It's not that I'm anti-medicine. I'm anti being bilked because I don't make a lot of money. And so anyway, I shouldn't say I don't make a lot of money. Let's just say that I have made some life choices in along my life path that have put me in a profession that is notoriously poverty stricken. So I'm a creative person. So that's what happens. Writers and artists are not known for for making a whole lot of money, and those that do usually have pretty good lawyers and stuff like that. And the only thing I can do as a reprisal is bring violence to people, and that's about it. Show up on their doorstep and say, look, you owe me money. So that's one thing I can do. And I haven't had to do it in a while because nobody's hired me, which is good. I'm self-employed. I can do whatever I want. So, I mean, I can do the gun training thing, which is fine. That's doing just fine. I'm enough to pay my bills. That's all that matters. That's all I care about. So anyway, I'm doing this, and today being what it is, because I just did another orbit around the planet. I had a birthday today. I had to go to the DMV because your license expires on your birthday, and so I had to go renew it. So, after struggling to get dressed and all that other stuff and put on a semblance of a civilized human being face, and I was dealing with a bit of a migraine this morning, mostly because I slept wrong. I've got a pillow issue where it's like I either have one too many or not enough because my shoulders are as wide as they are. And so it's like I can't find that happy, sweet spot that supports my head and makes me feel like my head is supported as opposed to my neck hurts. So anyway, I get these migraines periodically. And of course, it being winter, a little dry air, so I've got some kind of sinus thing. So I've been dealing with this ophthalmic migraine in my left eye. It's got a bit of a flutter. I've got a little bit of a tick in it. I've got like a muscle spasm from a compressed set of nerves in my face. And I think it's probably because I slept on my face a couple of times. And so I got to go to the DMV. And like I said, I'm experiencing this. And after getting dressed and all of that stuff and fighting, and it's of course raining and snowing and doing what it does here in Minnesota every year since I've moved here. You have to excuse me, I'm a bit of a frog and it's a little dry in here. So I go ahead and get in the car, get out of the garage. Everything's good. Get out of the alley, go to the street, go down the street, hit the highway, hit 94 going eastbound. I get just about a quarter of a mile from White Bear Avenue, and all of a sudden the traffic starts getting crazy, and it like comes to a grinding halt, and I'm like, what in the world is going on here? So traffic is moving at a crawl. I could have walked faster than the movement of traffic was going. So I was like, okay, there's something wrong here. I can't see what it is, but I know that it's whatever it is, it's serious. And so anyway, I get just far enough and I see that there's like cops and trucks and people in the ditch and all this other stuff. And it's like, okay, there's a big accident up here. I'm going to be here a while. I'm going to go ahead and hit an exit. So that's what I do, and I go to hit an exit, and as I come around the bend, as I'm looking up to 94 westbound, it too has a cluster of fucks, just another accident, and I'm like, okay, so 94 is now out in both directions, so I'm going to go ahead and I'll take the service road that will take me back home, and of course, as I round that, another accident. People not being able to go because they're rubbernecking. And I'm like, okay, perhaps I'm not meant to go to the DMV today. And so I go ahead and I think about it. I'm like, okay, you know what? I can get there. It'll be the long way, but I can do it. And I got to go hit the ATM anyway. So that's what I'm going to do. So I go ahead and hit the ATM, get my coffee. And stopped at my favorite Caribou, said hi to one of my favorite human beings, and chatted a minute. Got my coffee for free, felt pretty good about that. Birthday stuff, thank you, Caribou. And drove over to Radio Drive, hit that, went down, went to Woodbury, and got in line after parking the car and stuff. So I go ahead and I get inside, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, this is easy. There's hardly anybody here. This is awesome. So I get my little receipt thing, and it's, you know, C009, and I'm waiting. So anyway, this chick, she goes ahead and she gets waited on, and I'm thinking, oh shit, I'm next. And then it like calls it out, and then it's like a totally different number, and I'm like, wait a minute, these aren't in order. These are random, you know. And all I could think to myself is like, oh, that's right. They have the passport counter, they have the renewal counter, and then they have the driver's license, and they have all this other stuff. So I'm like, okay, I got all this stuff. I figured this out. And this woman asked me do you have any questions? I'm like, many, but none of them apply here. So I'll just go stand over here and wait for my number to be called. And sure enough, my number was called, and she was really nice. I go ahead and I answer the questions, and I have to go through the process of getting my eyesight checked. And I was suffering from this, I've got this ophthalmic migraine in my left eye, which is, if you don't know what they are, it looks like a distortion in your eye, and you have a hard time focusing. And right now it's gone. I can see things just fine. But you have hard problems reading street signs and all this stuff. Everything looks like blurred and double vision because you got this flutter within your ocular cavity. And so I go through this process where I can't read the top line. I can read two-thirds of the top line, but where the left eye is the thing that can see, I can't read that one. And I finally get through it. It takes me two tries. And then I go ahead and I have to take the photo, which Okay. If you've ever taken a bad DMV photo, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But if you have taken consistently since you've been driving bad DMV photos, you start to think that maybe the DMV, you're driving, just you being on the road, is it opens you up to a certain kind of criticism. It opens up to you to some sort of poor treatment, hazing, if you will, because I'm going to tell you, if there were ever an incentive for me to start an exercise program and cut wheat, sugar, and dairy out of my diet like cold turkey and lose about 500 pounds, this photo is it. Here's the thing, is that if I were to have shown this photo to my 20-year-old self, I mean, you know, it's bad enough just me looking the way I do now. I mean, I'm not like in great shape, but I'm in fairly okay shape. But the guy in this photo looks like the Santarin experiment from Doctor Who. If they were to show this photo for my 12-state crime spree, it would probably involve having slaughtered Grimace, Ronald, and Mayor McCheese. Because they would be like, oh my God, he's eating them all, you know, because I look like I weigh like 600 pounds. And I mean, I'm like, that is not me. It's like, oh no, it's you. No, it is not. It is not. I do not look like that. And here's the thing is that, you know, I've shown this photo to a couple of people. They're like, dude, that doesn't look like you. I'm like, I know, but this woman says it does. And so I'm thinking what they, and then she asked me, well, do you want to retake it? I said, no, you're just going to make it worse. You did that to me the last time. Do you want to retake it? And I said, yes. And you made that picture, made me look like I, you know, some kind of, you know, serial killer. I actually looked, actually in my other driver's license photo, you know who I looked like? I looked like the bug guy, you know, the guy that had the wife, you know, in Men in Black, the first movie. That's who I looked like. You know, when the saucer came down the backyard and he goes, figures, you know, Vincent D'Onofrio, his character, the big bug guy, that's who I looked like. And I was like, what the is this, you know? And so anyway, I sat there and I thought, are you guys fat shaming me? Is that what this is? Do you guys have a filter back there? Because I voted for Trump, that you know that I have voted a Republican ticket once or twice, and you just add like 150 pounds. Is that what you guys are doing? Because this kind of hurts. I mean, this photo hurts. And what's really funnier still is that I look exactly like my cat that has his own T-shirt that says this cat is a prick, that photo. That's who I look like. And I'm thinking to myself, the fuck? Anyway, so I get out of that. I go and I have to go deal with the public after this hideous photo is taken of me. And I feel a little insecure about it. So what do? Well, I have obviously it's my birthday, so I have to go get a cake. And so anyway, I go ahead and I get into Sam's Club and I show them the thing and I go walking. And then, of course, there's the aggressive salesperson that's trying to get me to switch from my carrier to T-Mobile, and I'm like, you know, my mom told me not to talk to strangers, and that's all I said, you know, and I just kept on walking, and I probably came off as like somebody who has special needs. I just kept on walking, and of course, you know, the guy behind me starts giggling. I was like, that was funny, you know, and I'm like, oh, I'm glad I was here to entertain you. And so anyway, I go ahead and I run around. I do the cake thing, and because I'm not going to make a cake, because this cake is going to be going to other people tomorrow. I had one piece, and I was like, okay, this is enough. It wasn't like the cake that I had that was, you know, like last year when I had that slice of cake, and I think I talked about this. I had a singular slice of cake, and I needed. I had to like tap out. I couldn't even finish it because it was like the single richest cake I've ever had on the planet. This cake that I had today was fine. It was like not too bad, not too, you know, not too sweet. All of the stuff, it just was fine. And this is a first world problem, I understand. It's just that, but to be perfectly honest with you, there are some cakes that should not be made for the simple fact that they may kill people. And that was last year's cake. This year's cake, sensible cake. So I went ahead and I got cake that I can, I had one piece of it. I had a cheeseburger for dinner. And, you know, it was easy. It was easy evening. And I did some gaming, of course, because that's all I got to do. And I've been working downstairs in the basement, doing all this other stuff. And so I just kind of hung out, and I was like, okay, you know, I'm having a good day. And then, of course, then I have to, I decided, you know, I think I'm just going to go ahead and do a podcast tonight. And I'm looking for information to see. And there's a lot of stupidity in the world, of course. But I saw one thing of interest. Scientists wrote a new message to intelligent aliens. Apparently, we have a new beacon in the galaxy. It's the latest in a series of attempts to contact other life forms in the universe. And here's the question that I have to ask. On what planet do you think they have an Atari 2600? I'm just asking here, because these graphics that you're showing me here, this is Atari 2600 stuff. And I understand that you guys have, you know, people programming things in Fortran and God knows what else, BASIC. Do you honestly think that aliens that are intelligent are not going to be able to like have like the graphics capability to understand? Or is this something you want to make so simple that some third grader in a parallel universe or on another planet that's at our evolutionary stage is going to be like, Mom, look, I decoded this stuff. And it's, you know, like, you know, and the first thing you're going to say is, you know, Jimmy, why are you looking at naked people? What is that about? You know, and what are those things? Are you drawing these things? And then there'll be a lot of questions. That kid will be disciplined and he'll probably be shamed into not ever being a nerd. He'll probably end up having to go out and get like a job at McDonald's or something like that, never realizing his passion for science. No, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that you see it. And here's the thing is that you got the man and the woman and they're waving like, hi, we're your nudist neighbors. Because that's exactly what it looks like. I mean, it's like, hi, my name is Kevin, and this is Brenda, and you know, we live right over here. And by the way, this is our DNA code, and if you ever want to come over, hey, you know, that's what this looks like. This looks like some kind of porn, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, it's like, man, haven't you guys thought this out? Don't you think that maybe they're not watching our TV right now? I mean, they probably have our own television shows. They're probably like, dude, you should see what Earth is kicking out these days. I think we might be getting more episodes of The Shield. And so anyway, they. What I think is really interesting, though, is that they have illustrations of the human form. Depiction of human male and female. Object falling downwards for direction, left. And double helix structure, right, where they show the DNA. Which, you know, could be some kind of poorly rendered dragon from the Atari 2600. So it's like, I don't know, but it looks like these two are about to die in a boss battle against Draco. No, you get a kick out of some of the stuff, but I mean, I understand that binary is the language of the universe that they're trying to use, and you know, and all of that, and I get it, I do, but when you have a sophisticated alien life form out there, and especially one that could travel between the stars, I'm pretty sure this is like well within their child's wheelhouse, you know. And I understand that, you know, you got to make things simple. So simple, in fact, that we here in America probably couldn't understand it. You know, that's the problem, is that, you know, you don't know who you're talking to. And just because we think it's simple, just because we think we're really smart, that doesn't necessarily make it so. But hey, nice try for effort there. Nice penis. That's going to give the aliens some unrealistic expectations. God, today's been just crazy. And then, of course, my dogs are acting up because, you know, it's my birthday, and they're like, we would like some cheeseburger too, Dad. And so, you know, I spoil them a little bit. So, not to be outdone by other weirdness, 2 in 5 people, that would be 40% of the so-called population, would have sex with a robot. And underneath of that is an article that says couples would rather have threesomes with a droid. No. Kill it with fire. Oh my God. This is... Oh my God. Here's the thing. You know what the worst part about this is? The photos. The story's bad enough, but you've got some basement dweller holding on to some rubber doll here, and I'm going to tell you, no. I mean, no. If you are that desperate to where you're having sex with something that looks like a mannequin, ooh. See, this is how you know the human race is doomed. Doomed, I tell you. Doomed to extinction. And speaking of other exaggerated commentary about sex. So you got this guy, Representative Cawthorn, saying he, the powers that be say he exaggerated claims about the DC orgies and the cocaine. And from my perspective, it's like the guy's in a wheelchair. What's he going to do at an orgy? Not that I know anything about this, but I had a friend that was in a wheelchair, and that guy was not equipped to do or participate in that sort of thing, as far as I know, and at least in that regard. Then again, you know, I'm not ableist here. I'm not trying to say that. It's just that, you know, it's like people are weird on various levels, but that's a kind of weird that I just... You know, I don't come up to somebody, do a line of cocaine, and say, "Hey, you know what I'm doing later?" And you know, like invite a bunch of people over to do some kind of orgy shit. You know, just because we're politicians, that's something. Maybe it's because I don't identify as I'm not a politician. I don't understand it. I don't understand their mindset. See, there's a lot of weird stuff in the world. That just confuses me. I don't want to know. You know what? No. I'm gonna shut my brain off and think about things that make no sense. Like the shaming that I got from my DMV photo. You see, I should get a lawyer. I really should get a lawyer and say, you know, this makes me feel really insecure about how I look and feel as a person. I mean, I identify as somebody who's physically fit. And this makes me feel like I'm not that person. And here's the thing, given the rates of obesity and how fat a lot of people really are, proportionately in that percentile that I'm in, I am actually physically fit. I look like a supermodel compared to some of the people that I see every day in the public eye. And I know that that sounds a little hideous and maybe just a little wrong, but you know what? Here's the thing is that I don't go out there showing people that I'm wearing spandex. I keep clothes on that make me look like I'm dignified and that I care about the eyesight of other people. I am what you would call a cautionary tale for people who get into comfortable relationships, sedentary jobs, that sort of thing. This is what happens when, you know, you have a lifestyle that doesn't, you know, force you to get out and work out and stuff. When you're an artist, you can pretty well just goof around and sit on your ass and make stuff with your hands. You know, and if you're, you know, this is the thing. unless somebody is screaming at me to do some push-ups or whatever, I generally, as a rule, would not. But I will tell you this, this photo right now, as I stare at it, and I'm not going to put this up on the website because this is something that, this is a personal shame that I have to carry on my own. I don't need my enemies to look at this going, look at this motherfucker. Holy shit, we can make fun of this guy all day long, you know, and then that will just open up another childhood wound and make me feel like, you know, this is the reason why my dad didn't love me or my mom didn't love me because I was fat. And this is the reason why I don't have any friends and just, you know, and all these other things. I don't want to start that death spiral. What I am going to do, however, is do my 30-day fast in April, starting tomorrow, because I already had the cake to cope with the fact that I nearly, you know, getting to the DMV in and of itself safely on a day like today, that should be the driver's test. Oh, you made it here and you don't have any scratches on your car? Good for you. Here you go. Here's your license. Because I have common sense, I exercised decency, and I was able to get here. You know, but I mean, like I said, how dare these people inflict this type of emotional distress on me with a photo? Because now here's the thing, is that not only do I have to look at it, I now have to, if I go buy a video game, or if I go buy alcohol, I got to show this to somebody. And they're just going to be like, what the fuck happened to you, buddy? Did you lose a bet? Did you piss her off? Is that what happened? I'm like, no, she seemed really nice at the DMV. And this is what she did to me. And she, in all fairness, she was a really nice person. She was really cool. But I'm saying that, you know, I make a lot of jokes. And this is all self-deprecating humor. But I got to tell you, though, this particular photo, if you see this photo, if you are dumb enough to say, hey, dude, show me that photo and I show it to you, you will be like, dude, you look nothing like that. You will be like, I mean, this is that joke where it says, you know, I know five fat people and you're four of them. That's what I look like in this photo. And I'm going on and on about it because I'm that unhappy with this photo. But I will say this. If there is one of those litmus test moments of my character, it is today. Because sure as I'm sitting here doing this podcast, you can better believe push-ups and sit-ups are going to be a thing every day. I'm going to actually try running again because I do not, in 4 years, shit, in 6 months, I want to be able to go back to the DMV and say, retake this thing. Look what you did to me. Look what you did to me. You know, that sort of thing. And because, I mean, here's the thing is that once you inflict that sort of wound on somebody, it's just, you're never going back. You cannot go back to your life the way you know it. You've had your eyes open to the reality of everything. You see, and this is another thing I started to think about. Maybe I should definitely lose the weight so that way, when I do commit a crime and they use that driver's license photo, that's another mystery that I'm trying to figure out right now. How do cops solve any crimes when you have photos that don't even look like the people that are in them? Do I really look like this? And if I really did, at least I wish somebody would have told me. I said, dude, you're getting kind of fat. Say that. You know, you should have said something, dude. You're a little chubby. You know, maybe you should get out and do some walking or something like that. You got two dogs, for fuck's sake. Get some exercise. That day is here. It's done. So I don't need any of you guys to tell me that. I already know. So believe me, I'm all over this. It's just that it's an eye opener. It hurts. It really is painful. But anyway, I've been seeing a lot of other stuff in the news. Caitlyn Jenner got a job at Fox News. I guess that, somebody at Fox lost a bet. And, yeah, there's just a lot of crazy stuff here. I don't understand. But at least I'm not going to talk about politics. At least I'm not going to do that because I've had a little bit more than I can take with politics. I don't understand it. And then here's the thing. And you know what? Just when you think that the world can't get any better or any worse, Bruce Willis has retired from acting. I feel as though I had a part to play in that. Not because I knew anything or any of that stuff. I feel like I willed it to happen because I watched three of his last movies. Three of them. And I've never recovered. I am never going to recover from the financial loss of those rentals. I'm just not. And then as if there's some kind of equivocation here, apparently he had a misfired gun on the set 2 years ago. And all I could think to myself is, like, did he kill anybody? Did he point a gun at somebody and shoot him? No, he didn't pull a Baldwin, so there it is. Oh, my God. Yeah, there's been a lot of weird stuff. And you know what? It's really funny. I read about those light shafts that are still up in there, and nobody's got an explanation that still satisfies me. I'm feeling pretty good about that, too. I think I called it. I think it's just aliens. I'm pretty sure it's aliens. Oh, hey, by the way, speaking of David Jacobs, professor, doctor, he says that we're being abducted by aliens routinely, experimented on, just before they break down and invade us. If there was ever a time in my life where I felt validated, it's also today. God, I'm getting a little choked up here. The day I knew was going to come when somebody in academia was going to tell us what they knew. Spilling his guts, saying we're being abducted by aliens. I knew it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not. I'm not really crying. I'm. That's acting, which is better acting than Bruce Willis. Nobody's whispering anything in my ears. not even my imaginary friends. They're like, dude, shut up, shut up. No, all kidding aside, though, David Jacobs is this doctor who says we've always been visited by aliens, and they've been manipulating our DNA, and they've been abducting human beings, they've been conducting experiments on people and cattle and all kinds of other stuff, and they are prepping the world so that they can invade it. And all I can think to myself is, see, I knew it. I feel as though that, like, I say things on the internet and there's like some guy that's got some credibility, you know, and he's like, dude, I could use an extra few bucks. I think I'm going to write a book about aliens, you know, and I'm just like, I feel as though I should talk to this person. Hey, did you listen to my podcast like 2 years ago? Did you read any of the stuff I was writing on my blog about alien abduction? Because this is looking a little familiar to me. Just, you know, pull that kind of shit, you know, and say, I don't think it'd be anything like that. I'm making jokes about it. But I got to tell you, you know, when you see people talking about the things that you've been talking about that you just kind of yanked out of your rear end, because, you know, you have these thoughts and you ponder the universe in the way that I do, you start to wonder, is the universe validating me through the voices and the words of others? Am I this universe that's experiencing itself and trying to find a way amongst the other universes? I don't know. It's a question that I ponder quite a bit. Because if we're all individual universes and we're all experiencing each other and our respective universes itself, then, you know, the potential is limitless for the amount of realities and limitless universes. That means it's endless, just absolutely endless. And you couldn't even comprehend it, you know. But it tells me that in a parallel universe somewhere, some way, I'm right about everything. In a new universe, I'm right about everything, but nobody will admit it. You know, it's like Alex Jones having his life turned upside down, you know, because, you know, he thought he was right about things. And, well, some of the things he's been right about, some of the things he hasn't. And, you know, I give a lot of credit to Alex, because he's one of those people that kind of I opened my eyes to some of the crazy stuff that people believed in the way of conspiracy theories. Because, you know, I've been a bit of a conspiracy theorist all of my life. I have been tilting at windmills since I was a kid, you know, never wanting to believe the status quo, always wanting to, you know, see past the curtain, you know, and see what's behind it. And by doing that, I put myself on this path of having no friends and family and, you know, a certain amount of, coping skills that may or may not be as healthy. I did eat a piece of cake today. I could have eaten the entire cake, but I have willpower. And so I'm going to be dropping off cake to other people, not because I don't want to eat it, but because I get more satisfaction out of sabotaging other people's diets. It's like, hey, you know, you could use a piece of cake. Oh, no, I really couldn't. Yes, you can. Have this cake. It's chocolate. It's full of chocolatey goodness. Eat this tuxedo cake. And I have a way of convincing people. I just look them in the eye and like, I will go away if you eat this cake. And it works pretty well. They're like stuffing that shit in their face. And I'm like, get the fuck out. No, I'm just kidding. It's not like that. It's just, you know, I every once in a while I like to make uncomfortable eye contact with people when they're eating. You know, because my dogs do it. Like, they're like giving me this look like having a cheeseburger and like, you know, and they're like, you know, drooling and everything. It's like, look, I will give you a cheeseburger, but it's hot right now. And you're not getting the whole thing with the bun and the cheese and stuff like that. I'm just giving you the burger, you know. And you know what's really funny is that dogs have a way of showing their personalities and stuff like that. And Lily is really turning into a great dog, and I'm really happy. You know, this is like the first birthday I've had in a very long time where I wasn't awash in depression. And it made me feel kind of nice. For the first time in a long time, I haven't felt like, you know, the world's going to end. You know, it's I'm doing okay, and it's been a really pretty good day, really. And I have enough in my life to where I have everything I need, and that's all I needed. That's all I want. You know. I don't need all the extra stuff. I don't need, you know, a million friends. I don't need any followers. You know, if you're listening to this podcast, hey, I appreciate your time. I really do. You want to tell some people? Go ahead. You know, I'm doing this podcast because I enjoy, you know, sharing some of the stuff that is going on in the world. Not to mention my own crazy perspective, because I'm a little weird. And sometimes I say some funny things. And I'm trying to do a little bit more of that, because the world we're living in right now is not a funny place at all. It's actually quite unfunny, and I think I'd rather be funny and truthful and be a real genuine person as opposed to all this other stuff going on. So that's what I'm going to try to bring to my podcast. And I actually, starting April 1st through the 30th, because I am going to do this 30-day fast every day. I will do this thing, and I will keep it honest. I tried doing it the last time. I got like 21 days into it, and I just fell off the wagon. And but this time I'm going to go ahead and make it the full 30, and I think I can do it, mostly because I have this visual incentive staring me in the face, all 6,500 pounds of it. You know, it's like, there be whales here, Captain. You know, this is, I'm telling you, this is the kind of shit that Greenpeace, they'd be like, you know what, this is what happens when, you know, they get caught in nets and they eat too much. I mean, that's whales, dolphins. You know, I look like a dolphin. It's like, you know, I have like the, it looks like I have the proportions of a dolphin. You don't even see my shoulders. All you see is this head and neck thing. And I can go on about this photo for at least an hour, because I, as an artist, there's a certain thing that I know about more than anything else, is that there's aesthetics. And a camera angle, 1 or 2 degrees, can absolutely change the dynamic of a person's persona. You can go from being, oh, look at that handsome person, to, holy crap, that dude's a supervillain. Or that dude is a bloated animal. When is his head going to pop, you know? And that's the kind of thing. And it's like, you know, that's the reason why I hate doing any, like, conference calls and stuff like that, because I need to find the right angle on my tablet. I look ridiculous. Like, dude, man, you're like, you okay there? You look like you're like Jay Leno or something like that, doing the, you know, the big guy thing, you know, where he was the working out guy. You know, no, it looks, I don't look like this in real life. At least I don't think I do. And if I do, I wish somebody would have fucking told me. Or maybe somebody did, and I just didn't listen. That's probably it. I was probably just not listening. Or I just didn't want to hear the truth. I don't know. All kidding aside, though, I don't have any intentions of wearing a bathing suit, like a bikini or anything, but I do have the intention of being able to get to the point where if I take off my shirt, that people don't look at me like, no, really, you just need to put that back on right now. You know? See, there's a certain aesthetic that people don't mind seeing. You know, dad bod is almost too fat. But what I got going on right now, it's like Sharpay Wrinkle Dog, and it doesn't look good. So I need to fix this. And then on top of that, you know, this photo. Oof. You know, that's another reason why I need to build a time machine. Purely so that I don't have to repeat today of going and getting that driver's license and then thinking to myself, how many other ways have I really fucked up my life? It's bad enough that I'm fat, but now I've made other mistakes too. I've got photographic evidence of it. So anyway, today's been awesome. It's actually been pretty good otherwise. I make a lot out of this because it's meant to be comedy. So don't think that I feel down about it. I think it's hilarious. I just think that it's, you know, it would be nice if it was somebody else for once. But I'll take it because it is funny. And, you know, there are worse things in the world to have wrong with your life than a bad DMV picture. Like, you know, having bad insurance or something. I don't know. But all kidding aside, folks, I'm glad you've been listening. This has been a fairly low-key and, you know, low-impact show today. I did talk about some stuff a little bit of current events, a little bit of the day. And thanks for listening. Take care.